special podcast Meet Friends, where we are making stuff up, being real, and talking about it. I'm so happy to be here, and I'm very happy to have our special guest this week. We have with us Billy Wright, comedic actor, writer, playwright, and storyteller. Hello, Billy.
Hello. How are you?
We have also with us Kate Lure, comedic actress and writer and blogger, and she's a very fun pie. Hello, Kate Lure. If you was listening to last week's, you know what I mean by that.
Oh, yeah.
And we're so happy to have with us comedian and actor, original member of the Axis of Evil comedy tour, and now big movie star, Mr. Mas Chobrani.
Hello, Mas. Thank you. Hi, how are you, Giselle?
Very happy to see you.
Happy to see you.
Such a good-looking man.
Oh, I love you.
Guys, I was starting off, I want to tell you, I saw a movie this week. I'm going to tell you a little bit about it, and then we open it up for discussion. I saw a movie this week recently called Eye in the Sky. You have heard of this? It have Helen Mirren, Alan Rickman.
Right.
So nice. He had much more to do.
Yeah.
For me personally.
Yes.
I gave him a to-do list and he left it.
Yeah.
Anyway, this movie is about a possible drone strike and the moral conundrum of possibly saving many anonymous lives, but possibly costing one specific life.
The old philosophical question.
Yeah, the collateral damage.
Oh, yeah.
This type of thing.
Is it like a president, or is it somebody who's a very important life?
Whose life matters, you mean?
You know what I'm saying. No, strategically speaking, it could be.
And which president, if
we're... And which president, yeah. That's
well,
good.
I don't want
how,
to...
how many people would be sad, or if not many people would care.
That's all the issues that is presented in this movie. I don't want to give a spoiler by telling you whose life is at stake. But...
Are you going to tell us the name of the movie?
Yeah.
Eye in the Sky.
Oh, you did. I'm sorry.
Yeah. And I was thinking, you know, why... One of the things that struck me is, why do it become such a heavy choice? Because you would think logically save a lot of people. Mm-hmm. So why is such a heavy choice? Everybody worry about whether or not there will be one collateral damage. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And it's because in this movie, we get to know that one person's story. We get to know them. We relate. We understand them. We feel their pain. And so we feel a human connection with them. Mm-hmm. Versus the many people is still sort of anonymous. And so I started to think about the value, the importance of storytelling. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And especially now in this digital age, there's lots more storytelling available. Maybe in old timey, they would pitch a tent or everybody go down to the old meeting hall.
Well, you read a book is what you did.
Several times, because you probably just had that one and it was probably the Bible.
But nowadays, everybody can tell the story on blogging and YouTubes and live, and on this podcast we tell stories, and you can get to know a lot more people's stories. And I think that has a lot of value because it connects us.
But you would think it would make us more sympathetic, but it seems to be going the opposite direction.
Oh, what do you mean?
Exactly. Go on.
Well, I mean that, like, you would think that you're right with all these stories out there. Like, if somebody's going to spew some hate let's say a Trump supporter, for lack of a better example, is going to spew some hate against...
For lack of a more hateful...
Exactly.
Is there?
Because there are so many examples.
So you would think if they had access to stories of minorities or of whether it's Muslims or Mexicans or immigrants or whatever, then hopefully before they would support the guy, they would listen to the story and they would sympathize and they would say, you know what, maybe they're not all... rapists and whatever else he said about the Mexicans.
Yeah, but sorry, but just think about the gun control thing. How many stories have we heard I mean, stories and poignant story after story after story that I know I'm not the only person that hears.
Yeah.
And the other people, they're like, no, we don't need gun control. You know, it's like, how many stories do you really? I mean, seriously, that just shocks me.
I agree with
and
you.
And honestly, I can't, and I don't understand the Trump thing either, because I never thought this was happening, and now it really did happen. So now I'm really thinking, wow, this is like completely really could happen, like yeah. all the way.
I could say,
and that is just so frightening.
That's the scary story. I could say like 30 minutes on about 12 things that have been brought up so far. So please just tell me if I start talking too much, but. The conundrum of the one person versus many, there's a great episode of Radiolab that delves into what is it in the brain that makes us choose the one person because we feel a genuine, like if I'm shoving one person off a train track, but that means the train's going to kill 300 anonymous people, I'm still the one, you know, this is what I have the control over and this is the connection that I feel. And I learned that reading Half the Sky also, which was the book that sort of changed my life and made me produce Broadly Speaking, which Moz was very generously a guest on. And they talk about if you tell the story of one woman and her suffering, it will cause people to change their behavior much more than if you give them statistics mm-hmm. of how many thousands of people something is happening to. That's just the psychological aspect. As far as why we're so hateful, I feel like we're telling a lot of stories that are... I actually touch on this in what I'm reading tonight. We root for a lot of bad guys, and we're telling a lot of really dark stories, and they're wonderful. But like, I just finished watching the new season of Orange is the New Black, and I'm just filled with rage about the way the world works. My rage is empathic, but there was actually a great line in an episode where a girl said, I don't like to read because then you start thinking other people's ideas could be legit and then you can't just flat out judge them. Mm. And there's your Trump supporter.
Yeah. Right? You know, I was thinking maybe with the Trump supporter, the same, what is the word? Onus?
Yeah.
Onus? The onus is on us. That's funny.
The onus is on us.
To also have compassion for them, for people we disagree with mm-hmm. politically. So maybe we can find a story, a personal story from a Trump supporter as mm-hmm. to their life, their motivations, why they feel this way, and then we can relate.
What was so difficult for me. I had an experience with a sister.
But anything that can bring us to compassion.
I have a sister. I'm from Texas. Okay, like you know, I had a sister who has a son who's like an adult, and because I'm very, you know,
you're adult like.
He's like an adult, anyway, and you're adult like.
And his girlfriend. They've been together forever. Is completely. She's from Mexico. And like, I'm gay, and she was telling me, I know that I'm wrong now, but I completely lost it with her. And it went like, at one point she said,
she was from Mexico, she was a supporter of Trump?
She told me like in January she came out, and I had no idea actually.
She came out as a Trump supporter.
And I said, and I was also, like, I will admit, we've been drinking, the family, it's my family, so if you know anything about me. Of course, we've been drinking, and so it just kind of escalated. She's like, I am not stupid. And I was like, you know what? If you support him, you have to be stupid. And like, she's not spoken to me since then, though.
I just read a really great article in Vox about what has created this Frankenstein monster, and it used a lot of science and data from before Trump was even a candidate, showing that there was this movement afoot in the country based on people being afraid of all the social change that's happening and having a desire for authoritarianism, which is sort of a natural reaction. It's why after women got the vote and black people started getting into the workplace more in the 1920s, there was this resurgence of the Ku Klux Klan. It's why when we elected a black president, we had a tea party all of a sudden. And now there are people who are acting out of fear of the other. And it's not just stupid people. I mean,
I also have to say I was wrong.
There are a lot of racists, and there are a lot of.
It's what she was. It's what Giselle was saying about the stories. You're right. We got to be open to the stories. And I just happened to listened. I was just driving here listening to NPR. And about, they were talking about
that'll kill your happiness.
Did you hear about the there was a piece right now about the anti-Semitic thing that he. So there was an anti-Semitic tweet that they put out.
I thought you were going to talk about the director.
Did you hear that part? Kira Russom. Yeah. So but what they were saying though was that so the, this Jewish reporter for NPR was saying how this past week there was a tweet that has Hillary Clinton with a Star of David and money, and it's saying that she's crooked. And so there was a lot of anti-Semitic stuff there, and also a similar image had been on a white supremacist website or something recently. Oh. And then quickly Trump's people took down the tweet, but then Trump hasn't addressed it. But then, because he's been getting a lot of things, a lot of accusations here, anti-Semitic. Well, this reporter was talking about how he went to talk to a Jewish blogger who's conservative but has been blogging against Trump. And she said that as I started blogging against Trump, I started getting a lot of anti-Semitic tweets back. Mm-hmm. And she even went out and got a gun to protect herself, she said.
Wow.
But then this guy talks about how he started talking about Trump. This reporter for NPR, he's Jewish. He started talking about Trump in a negative way. Then he started getting anti-Semitic remarks. So then he tweeted this one guy back. And he said, I'm a reporter. Will you be willing to talk to me to say, like, why are you, like, attacking me like this? So he got the guy on the phone.
Oh, great.
And they talked. And I guess the guy was like, the guy said something along the lines of, like, it's not, I'm not trying to be anti-Semitic, this, that, and the other. And then the reporter explained to him, like, you're talking about stories. The reporter explained to this guy who had done the anti-Semitic tweet. He said, listen, Jews have been persecuted all these years. And so when you do a tweet that's hateful like that, it's not good. It's,
it's a trigger
right?
Everything that came before
and then
it.
This guy who was supposedly was an Iraq war veteran, he said, okay, and it's in the interview. He goes, you know what? When you put it that way, I understand. But then he goes on to tell the Jewish guy, he says, I feel that white people now are being persecuted in America,
right.
Kind of like what you were saying. So his story is basically what you guys are saying. His story, if we were to listen to his story, it's that we are being pushed out. Immigrants are taking our job. That's what his thoughts is.
It's quote interesting. That privilege is when equality starts to feel like oppression.
Yeah, that's like, great.
That's interesting. But he don't see it that way.
No,
for us to bring everybody into the fold, we have to try to see everybody's point of view, the other people's point of view. I have found in my life when I want to have somebody do come over to my point of view, it's a lot easier to share them my point of view if they feel heard in their point of view, heard and respected in their point of view.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So as much as it hurts sometimes to hear the stories of people we disagree with and give respect to those stories, I think it's very important that we do. It's easy to divide us and then conquer us. You know that divide and conquer? We have to fight to stay unified even with the people we disagree with.
I think also to Maz's question earlier, we live in an age of access and anonymity, which is a deadly combination that you can say anything to anyone with no accountability.
Yes.
So while we're plugging NPR shows, I would also say there's a great episode of This American Life called If You Can't Say Something Nice, Say It in All Caps. And it's a similar story where a woman ends up having a conversation with her troll because he says something very cruel after her father dies. And it's like the final straw for her because she's been like, I understand when you blog about women's issues and you're not a thin person, you're going to deal with a lot of crap on the internet. But it was the thing that crossed the line and they had this conversation and he was just like, I don't know why I did it. I'm unhappy with my life and I just wanted to make, you seem so confident. And they ended up, exactly what it is. You hear each other's stories.
And
it humanizes people.
Yeah. Speaking of storytelling.
Oh, really? Me?
Yeah.
Oh.
Me?
I took great care this week to write out a big fancy running.
No, I know. I read it like 100 times. If you could.
Billy's drinking already.
Fortify.
If you know Billy.
Liquid courage.
Okay.
remember years ago, Billy, I saw you at Acme Comedy Theater.
Oh, yes. Did you?
Yes. I was going there to watch, and you had a funny sketch. You was a lady who was doing the announcements at the Piggly Wiggly grocery store.
A lady, was I?
You were a lady, really pretty lady. And you were so tired from your long shift, you said, I'm going to drink me a whole box of wine tonight.
Oh, my God. Now that's those tired jokes.
I love that. It's not tired.
I was
going to
use that,
me.
And somebody's like, you know what? That is just so tired.
It's not tired
that
to me.
That box of wine thing is just run into the ground.
No. You can always say it to me and get a laugh. Try it.
A box of wine. I don't really. You know what? I'm not. I'm so happy with what I'm about to do right now, and proud.
I'm excited.
All I want to do is just tell a story. I just all I want to do.
Great.
Like the moth.
I'll tell everybody who this is. Ladies.
No, it's not. No, it's me.
Yeah, I'm gonna say.
I'm Billy.
It's Billy Wright. He's an actor and a writer. He's a comedic. A person.
And I have a company.
And I'll get to it. He has written for The Simpsons. He has a wonderful play called Texmas about his funny family. And he has a company called Huber.
Right. And it isn't really my company, but it is kind of like my company because it feels like my company.
Tell us.
A little bit about Huber is what it is like, you know that feeling like that you get when you tell somebody to go somewhere and like they really like it. Like, no, but they really like it. They're like, oh my God, that is just incredible. That is what Huber is about. That feeling of warm, tingly warmth in your soul that you get when someone refers you to something and you like it. We're building a community with Huper.
It's an app?
Yes. That's what I was going to ask.
And I think everyone who hears this should download it. It's H-U-U-P-R. It stands for human PR. It's called Huper. Mm. We're building a community. Be a part of it.
Nice.
Huper. Get some. Huper. Get it.
Extra human.
It's like a personal, more personal Yelp. It's not the review.
Exactly.
It's me telling you you gotta go and you love it.
Right. I mean it has Yelpishness in it, but it isn't Yelp at all. And it has Groupon-ish to it, but it's not. I mean, it's of the ilk of that, but it's really about that essence of like, seriously, we are trying to build a community through that feeling that you get when you are referring things that you really like to somebody.
Yeah.
And then there is a cash reward system embedded in it as well. But
oh boy.
But so you get like money, you each get money, but that's not
so
what it's really about
happiness.
First and foremost. Anyway, the story.
Thank you for telling us about it. We will check it out. Here's Bill telling us a story.
Oh, I'm not reading it.
Okay.
So I was just going to tell you, no, I'll leave it open.
Whatever you like.
Okay. I was just going to say, I went to this thing last year that was a meditation retreat where you're silent for 10 days. Anybody ever heard of it?
Well, yeah, I've heard of those. Yeah, I've heard
of
those.
It's called Goenka. I mean, he died a long time ago. Not that long ago, actually, but you hear a recording of his voice. And it's really great. I had done it before, but I had just had a breakup like about 2 months before I decided like this is what I needed. This is the complete answer to my problems. Was to go here. It was like the worst decision I ever made in my life. I was like, I think it was at the crate. And it was about, no, it was in February of 2015. But it was like probably one of the lowest points of my life.
Yeah.
And I'm like, and I had done it before and it had been really great. It was when my boyfriend had cancer and like, I don't know, somehow that worked out and helped me. And I came back and I think I was better. But this time it was after he had broken up with me and like left me for somebody else. And I remember I was sitting on my bed one night and I was looking at these creases in my elbow. I was just like, God, I never even saw those. Like, I've never, I was like, how do you get this? You don't even know you have, you'll ever get that when you're 23. But anyway, and then I was like, this is it. I'm going to be over. Everything's going to be good because tomorrow I'm starting. And like, you know, you just start to really get into it. Although I really didn't. And what was happening was that like, I was super emotional. So I'd be, and this is a silent meditation hall, but or I would just be so incredibly annoyed that like, yeah. I would hear the guy next to me, because you always sat in the same place, would be like, just, he swallowed, because I could hear him swallow.
Oh my God.
That's the worst.
And it was like, oh my God. Like, and the thing is, the whole point of the meditation is to not have feelings about something, not to be attached either way, so either good or bad. Mm-hmm. So and he calls it when you get attached to something, that's a sankhara, and a sankhara is really bad because it is like a tree that would grow up. You have one sankhara, it's like a tree, it grows up and it has seeds, and it fall, they come down and they grow all these more trees with more seeds. Sankharas just sprout more sankharas. And it was like, and I'm sitting there like being so annoyed by this stuff, I'm like sprouting sankharas like a chia pet. Anyway, I made it through, and I would say I was stronger for doing it. I could only say that now. I couldn't say it when I first got back.
10 days.
Wow. Yeah. With no speaking.
No, you don't speak. You speak on the 10th day.
It sounds like solitary confinement.
It's actually really terrible because everybody's just walking around and they either look deranged, sure, or really angry. And I'm sure I looked both because I was.
Can you wink? And
no,
you cannot
even, like, if you're walking down the path and you see somebody, you can't even acknowledgement is conversation.
You can just go, hey,
you cannot do that. Or if like somebody holds a door open for you, you can't make a gesture of thank you or anything.
Wow. So you really have to be in solitude.
You're in solitude. Yeah.
But so with other people.
With other people, just that you're not, and other people, no one else, like, it seemed like so could you imagine eating? It's like, I wish I had a clinker right now, because it's just like you hear the clinks, yeah, of the dishes, God. But there's no talking. And also, everyone's looking just at their food, except for me. I'm just sitting there looking at everybody going, you all look sad. And it's, I put like, those almonds in my glove compartment.
It's like being, it sounds like being a monk without the outfit. Because monks have but at least they have the outfit that keeps them, you know, from seeing anybody.
Or a prisoner without the outfit.
And then on the 10th day, it's like that Simpsons episode where the factory turns into a gay bar. It's not like it's gay, but like everyone is talking so much. Because on the 10th day, you can talk, and it's kind of crazy. Then it all feels right and good. And it is actually great. In all honesty, it is both. I've done it twice, and it is the thing that I go back to when I am the most stressed, is meditation and that feeling of really not being attached.
But when you're annoyed, I tried to do a meditation last night when I was really in a bad mood, and the whole relax, relax was just, every time she said it was making me more annoyed. And then it was the first time I'd ever tried this one. And then a second voice comes in that's like, now we're going to give you some thoughts. And I was like, no, we're not. And I just turned it off.
You don't really need to. You don't need to have anything.
I know. I feel like I do. But I'm one of those people.
You don't have it with Goenka, which is why I could hear the person swallowing.
Yeah, I would leave there much worse than I began.
When I was in a bad mood and I was reading some book saying, you know, notice your breath, relax, listen to the sound. I said, why don't you quit telling me what to do?
Yeah.
Book, get off my butt.
Get off my back, book.
Can't notice my breath with your voice chirping in my ear.
That's right. Hey, when you got back from that retreat, did you drink a whole box of wine?
Let's see. No.
I would have spent the whole retreat thinking about that.
I did. There's this, like, you go through this really small town. It's actually in a beautiful place. It's in North Fork, and which is a really tiny town near Yosemite, very close to Yosemite. But right before you get there, like, there's this little town with a bar in there. And I always thought, I'm lying in bed and think, I'm just going to leave right now and eat those almonds in my glove compartment on the way to that bar.
I bet that bar gets a lot of, like,
escapees.
That's their primary business.
Thank you, Billy.
Sure.
I hope that there were some people listening who disagree with you, because that story would bring them closer to understanding your heart.
maybe.
You must have this experience a lot, since you know, it's a big star and you do a lot of fun things with acting and writing. I had this experience on the phone. This lady found out that I was from... live near Hollywood.
Yeah.
And she thought I was connected. She wanted help getting connected. So I happened to record the phone call.
Please.
Let's play it and then we discuss.
Tile Smart, this is Claire. How may I help you?
Oh, hello. Yes, my name is Giselle Ned. I was calling to check on my tile order.
Okay. And spell your last name for me, please.
Yes, it's N-E-T-T.
Great. Hold on one second. Okay, yeah, here we go. Net, and the address is blah, 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 blah. Ooh. I see that that's Los Angeles.
Los Angeles, that's right.
And are you maybe a movie producer?
Oh, no, I'm not a movie producer. No. Just me, just redoing the bathroom.
Do you know of any movie producers that are friends? Because, you know, I hear that everybody knows everybody, you know, like that saying, 6 degrees of instant bacon, or I mean... what's his name? Kevin. 6 degrees of Kevin Bacon. So I'm sure you probably know of other movie directors, maybe. I don't know.
You know, yeah, actually, my friend Bill just make a movie. So I suppose.
Well, see, there you are. There you were connected and you didn't even realize it.
Yeah.
But now you do.
Yeah, that's true.
Oh, my gosh. Oh, I have always dreamt of being an actor out in Hollywood.
You could come out and give it a try.
Well, you know, I was in a lot of community theater, and the two most memorable ones was I was in Mary Poppins as Mary Poppins, and I was also Maggie in Cat on a Hot Tin Roof. So,
oh wow, pretty,
yeah, and I got these great reviews from people. So, who knows where that will take me from? You know, there.
Oh yeah, that's great. Congratulations on that.
I've been told I look like Scarlett Johansson, but from above.
Oh, oh, huh. How far above?
I'd say 20,000 feet on a plane level, or, you know.
Oh, yeah, I can see the resemblance.
Yeah, thank you. And I've also been told that I'm sort of a cross between Calvin Dittmers and Ellie Dittmers.
Oh, you know, I don't know if I know who those are. Who's that?
Oh, they're my parents.
Oh, yeah, I can see the resemblance.
It's even on both sides, right? Yeah. And some people say that I'm like Tom Hanks with more of a seabird look.
A seabird?
Yeah, like cross Tom Hanks with a pelican and make it a woman.
Ah. You sound very beautiful.
Maybe I could audition for you one day. I don't know. Just on a whim, I thought I'd put that out there on the table.
Oh, see, you know, I would totally say yes, except that, like I say, I'm not a movie producer, so I don't really know what I would do with that. But maybe we could just check on my tile order.
Oh, right. Yes. I'm sorry. Yes. Okay. Yeah, here we go. So you ordered the Salerno porcelain tile timber stone collection, the high definition mahogany mat, 59 of the 6x24-inch squares. Did you get that? That was like Maggie from Cat on a Hot Tin Roof.
Yeah, I guess so. That was very good. You are very good. But you know something, that S was not my tile order, unfortunately. I think there's been a mix-up because I wanted the Twilight Opalescence, 3/4 inch by 3/4 inch, and I wanted 12 sheets.
Okay, let me see. Oh, here we go. Okay. You ordered the Twilight Opalescence glass tiles with a mesh back. 12 sheets, 3x4 times 3x4. See, that was a little sitcom comedy kind of.
Yeah, boy, you're really versatile.
I do need to tell you about your shipping and handling. You can get the UPS ground or overnight. Overnight will be more expensive than the ground. Game of Thrones. I don't know if you got that, but oh, I've been working on that.
Oh, boy. Yeah, that's really good. I see what you did there. You're very good, Claire. Well, I think that I will just go for UPS ground.
That will be $22.95. And your total would be $103.50.
You are really versatile, I must say. I'm beginning to wish I was a movie producer because you have a lot of energy, Claire.
Well, like I said, 6 degrees of something bacon. So maybe, who knows?
Well, I wish you all the best luck.
Well, thank you very much, Giselle Nett. Thank you so much.
All right. Goodbye and thank you for your help.
You have a good day. Do, 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 do. Okay. Bye-bye. Bye. Bye.
So, yeah. Make it a little hard. People think just because you live in Los Angeles, you are some big fancy pants.
Except for other people who live in Los Angeles.
Then they know your pants are not fancy.
Not fancy at all.
Hey, guess what it is time for?
What?
What?
How many words do you get when you write 100 to 120 words?
I didn't sing along well.
100 to 120.
I wrote 153. You said 100 to 200
really
in the email.
That's really out of just out of bounds.
Mine is... Yeah.
57 words over. Jeez.
I'll stop in the middle.
Will they ever end those last 57?
You might feel that way.
You'd be very bad on Twitter.
I am very bad on Twitter. Yeah. So I'm barely.
Yeah, I could tell.
This week, we have the prompt clarity. Mm. Clarity.
Clarity. Bring me down to take me down.
Who would you like to go first, Billy?
Well, since I just said that I had to wait for you to say that, I will. Because you'll understand why. Oh, I'm sorry. Oh, here it is. Okay. Clarity. I had to look back and see now what this is. What is this about? What was that word? About 50 times I went back to the email and then was reminded again and again that the word that we were writing about is clarity. I'm fat. I'm going to have whatever I want for lunch and then a powdered replacement meal for dinner. That should do it. The purpose is to write 100 words about clarity with all of the people, and they will also write about it. That word. Why did I not pay that parking ticket? It's $200. I could have bought a nice meal with a decent amount of drinks at a moderate restaurant with someone. No. It would have to be a pretty cheap to have a decent amount of drinks. I'll just eat at home and have only drinks at a cheap bar with someone. No, alone. I'm hungry.
Oh, wow.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
That was beautiful.
Oh, I just don't want to follow that. It was so, mine is so angry.
Do you want me to go next?
Yes.
Okay. I love that, Billy. clarity.
For listeners, he's not fat, P.S. So just don't
It's all a negotiation, Deirdre thought. A calculation. When the workman building her new master suite asked if he could smoke in the backyard during lunch, she weighed her dislike of cigarette smoke and the possibility of annoying her neighbors against her belief that workers work better and harder when they feel respected. She let him smoke. When Carol Peisman offered her a deviled egg at the dog park fundraiser, she hated deviled eggs, she considered how offended Carol might be if she declined, how many people would witness the offense, and how likely they would be to hold it against Deirdre when she ran for president of the dog park the following year. She ate two eggs. Aww. When Doug had proposed to her, she'd done the math in her head. She was 38. He was mostly all right, not thrilling, but all right. She said yes. In this way, Deirdre carefully navigated herself through what she considered a very dangerous world. She felt competent, safe, and exhausted. So when, one night, as she walked to her car after attending a play, a teenager in a hoodie stuck a gun in her face and demanded money, she felt, underneath the terror and desperation, clear. There was nothing to calculate. There was no safety to try to maintain. There was only the gun and the giving of money and waiting to see what happened next. For the rest of her life, she remembered that moment as the freest she'd ever felt.
Wow.
Nice.
That was beautiful.
All right.
That's amazing.
Thank you.
The gun in the face will bring clarity.
Let's try it.
I got it.
Holla.
Okay.
All right. Well, it's amazing that we brought up this topic earlier that I've been trying to get quite a bit of clarity about and researching. And maybe I'll be able to make some new friends I disagree with after I read it. Okay, here we go. God, remember the good old days when Republicans masturbating to Ronald Reagan was the most misguided adoration on the political landscape? How could the party that elected that hero, a union-busting racist who sold arms to terrorists, ignored the AIDS crisis because it was only killing gay people, left thousands of mentally ill patients homeless, and set in motion the near extinction of the middle class? How could the party that produced that national treasure now be represented by this sentient E. coli slash American Kim Jong-un that is Donald Trump? Because that raging diuretic hemorrhage is exactly who Republicans have spent the last 40 years, starting with Reagan, training their base to want to operate from a need for authoritarianism and a fear of the other, to believe that the solutions to our problems are black and white, okay, mostly white, and to flee from the intimidating twin pillars of facts and logic into the safety of blind allegiance.
Nice. Wow. I like it. I love it.
I love it.
Well, here. I'm in familiar. I'm in friendly territory here.
Will you post that on your blog? Because that's another one I want to go back and look at the words.
Sneak peek of a blog to come.
Excellent.
So, yes. And I will.
I like sentient E. coli. Mm-hmm. Very funny. Mm-hmm. Master Brani, bring us home.
I feel like I have less words than I was supposed to, but I'm going to try my best.
I think you have the perfect amount.
She had way over.
I obviously.
Well, no, I have less than both and all of you guys. Does the date count as words? July 6, 2016, 8:34 p.m. Maz Jobrani. That's seven words. Woo!
Say your grade.
Okay. Since the summer has started, I have been kind of eating and drinking whatever I want. I also have been traveling and have a pain in my lower back, so I haven't been exercising as much as I would like to. Last weekend, I thought, I feel like I must have gained some weight in the recent past. Then I tried to put on a pair of jeans that fit just a couple of months ago, and I got clarity that indeed I have put on weight and I'm feeling fat. Not obese fat, but the pregnant man look fat. Like I have a baby. Thank you.
Wow.
I just love that there are two women and two men, and the two men are the ones talking about how fat they are. Welcome to LA.
Yeah, but it's true. It's the same thing that happened to me. I was like, oh my God, I had to like look at myself and go, okay, let's just be honest.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You're fat. Yeah. Yeah. Or you've gained weight.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
You should be filled with body shame.
No, I used to always, I know we're not talking. But I used to always like look at myself and be like, oh, okay.
Yeah.
But I was like, when I would be like really fat. Because I used to be like, when I was younger, I was really fat.
Okay, so maybe you haven't gained weight, but you've lost confidence.
Maybe we'll pick it up in the next
segment. No, but I think it's a thing of like, as you get older and as like you slow down a little bit and then when you let it go and then you see it kind of creeping up on you. And you get worried because I've always been relatively fit, mm-hmm. but then you get worried, and then like I said, if you're hurting or whatever it is, you don't have time to exercise, then all starts to build.
For me, it's like all of a sudden it doesn't work the same way that it did when I was younger. Now
nothing do nothing.
It's like it just is.
But you guys should definitely feel like you're failing. I mean, you definitely are.
Oh, I do. I do. Don't worry.
Failing. Oh yeah, totally.
Say embrace it.
I was like, this happened too. I was walking up some stairs and talking on the phone, but I was starting to breathe heavy. Like I was like, what's going on?
Who are you talking to? Maybe the person on the phone liked it.
Oh, that's too bad. I don't have that.
We give you a chance to catch your break because we're going to catch your breath because we're going to have a break right now.
Before
we go out, we want to say hello to our live listeners right now. Some of those who is listening live and have been tweeting in. We have Ron at Man in Black 666. It's his 20th wedding anniversary. Happy anniversary, wow. Ron. Michael Binha. Guten Tag, Michael. He's listening in Germany. It's early morning there. We have Mark Bidwell, Hyper-Canadian, hello there. Stephen Kruger is in Austin, Texas. He's currently knitting along with us at home. Very good. If you hear in the background, it's 4th of July still in my neighborhood. We also
love independence here.
Little Fish is with us. And Senor Smoke, hello, hello. We love that you're in touch with us. We love to hear what's on your minds or tweet in. Coming up in the show, we have comedian Mars Jobrani in the living room stand-up show. But for now, we'll be right back.
Bye.